the title of this tea with Tess is Be That Girl. Be That Girl. And I'm going to help you see why that is important and why we would want that for you. And so, why I would want that for you, to be that girl. Because for me, Deborah embodies that girl. That girl that we all know who is amazing and incredible and courageous and fulfilling her purpose and here for it and speaking the truth and using her gifts and talents, her voice, who uses her strategy, who prays heaven's prayers even when she feels like her voice isn't resounding here on earth, and that girl. And so that is what I want to title this week's Tea with Tess, Be That Girl. You know, that girl. Okay, so I want to just quickly recap for those of you who haven't been a part of this. We're looking at the life and leadership of Deborah. And I said to you in the first week, okay, which was quite a while ago now, I said, we looked at the spirit of motherhood that every woman, I believe, carries, a spirit of motherhood. No one is exempt from it. If you are a woman, you carry it. It's gifted to us by God. It's something that's true to His nature. And it's what the earth is desperately calling for. And we see that Deborah rises up in a very dark time, similar to what we are perhaps navigating now on the earth. And she says, her exact words are, I'm going to just try and find it so that you can hear. Now Deborah, no, she's singing about herself. Why can't I find it, people? She basically says, it was a really dark time until I, Deborah, arose. I, a mother in Israel, arose. And I cannot find it, but it is in here. And that is what I framed that first week around, is that we carry a spirit of motherhood, okay? And it is something that has been gifted to us by God. Here we go. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths to get to where they needed to be. Villages in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. Okay, so I spoke about what would it look at, the word, never underestimate the word. The word in the mouth of a mother. Don't underestimate the word the word in the mouth of a mother. Don't underestimate the word of God in your mouth, basically. And then in the second week, I spoke about using your voice, understanding that we are atmosphere shapers, we are carriers of vision, and we have been given a voice by God to bring a new narrative to the world. And we spoke about how our words create worlds, and we asked about what perhaps were the words are that we are speaking. And then I looked at this idea of the power of prayer, what it would look like to be a praying people, a praying womanhood, and perhaps to speak out of the spiritual, not the physical, speak what He sees, not what we see around us, and to realize that our voice's influence is not limited to this earth. We have access to all of heaven, and when we use our voice and we speak, God comes through. Amen. And so today I want to speak about two things quickly around her life. And I'm just going to pick out these two because I think there's a lot more in the story, but I really want to just pay attention to these four ideas. So it's the spirit of motherhood. Don't underestimate the word in the mouth of a mother. Amen. Use your voice. And then the girl with the voice is what I titled that, actually. And I said, never underestimate the power of the word in the mouth of the mother. Never underestimate the power of your voice, the power of your confession. And today I want to talk about what it looks like to be that girl. So the first thing is that stands out to me in the story is that Deborah remembered and rehearsed the right stories, okay? It's quite amazing for me how often we see that people in leadership oftentimes are the ones who are seemingly optimistic. They are quite positive, and it's not all the time, but I do notice a thread. I look very shiny, guys. I look like I literally just stepped off a beach in Manhattan, and I belong like on, I don't know, something that is not a good look for me. I don't do the shiny bronze look. Okay, anyway, I'm digressing. Okay, so Deborah, Remember the Right Stories. I want to read to you. She basically, in her Song of Deborah, so remember what happens? They tell us the story in Judges chapter 4 of what happened, what she did, okay? How she navigated this moment. And then chapter 5 is the song that they sing in response to the victory that they have now walked in, okay? And it says in verse 10, she's talking about the people who've now served their country. They've served Israel by fighting, by going to war, by bringing victory. And she says this, "My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord, you who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road. Consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the victories of the Lord, the victories of his villages in Israel." And what I took out of that was that Deborah, she, if you see the way that she speaks in chapter 4, if you see the way that she sings and remembers the moment, she recites the right stories. She remembers the right stories. She's looking for them. She's listening to them in the street. She can hear them on the lips of the people. And so what would it look like for you and I to be a people or a womanhood who remembered the right stories? What it looks like to lead in this moment as a woman, to arise in this moment as a woman, what it looks like is to remember the right stories. So I want to ask you this morning, what stories are you telling? What stories are you telling? If you've been given a voice by God, if you carry a spirit of motherhood and it's something that's needed for the season, I want to ask you another layer to this moment, the story that we can take hold of is what stories are you telling? Are you a carrier of good news? The Bible talks about women being carriers of good news. They take our feet, take the good news to far and distant places. It talks about in the Psalms. And I want to ask you this morning, are you a carrier of good news? Or are you a carrier of bad news? Are you the one reposting all the negativity on Facebook? Or are you the one silencing it with stories of joy and stories of compassion and stories of truth and stories of overcoming and stories of delight? Who are you? Are you that girl who brings good news to the world on every platform she finds herself, in every sphere that she finds herself? Or are you that girl who carries around a negativity and energy that says the world is doomed, what am I going to do, and actually everyone else is going to come down with me? Who are you in this moment? Do you know that you carry the Spirit of God that says and empowers you this morning to be a carrier of good news? So what are you and who are you? And if you perhaps are feeling that that's not who you are, I want to remind you who you are this morning. You are a woman, and as a woman, you carry the spirit of a mother to rise up in this moment, to use your voice and be a carrier of good news. The Bible tells us in Revelations 12, verse 11, that they overcame, they're talking about the believers, the followers of Jesus, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know that when you tell your testimony, when you tell people of how you have overcome something in your life, how you have overcome challenges, how you have navigated pain, how Jesus has made a way for you, when you tell people that story, what you're saying to them is, it is possible for you to have breakthrough and overcoming. It is part of your story. And what you are also doing is you're commanding that to happen again in the heavenly realm. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If you look into the Greek of the underpinning of that scripture, it means to do it again, to overcome, do it again, Lord. And so we overcome by recognizing that Jesus is it, he did it all, there's a finished work. But we also overcome when we share our stories. I'm doing a Zoom next week online on Tuesday the 23rd. If you want to join in, you must feel free, or if you know people that would be interested. But I'm doing a Zoom that talks about eating disorders. And I suffered from an eating disorder for many years, and I've never really spoken about it. Very briefly here and there, I've mentioned that it's something that I walked through, but because of the shame of it, and because I'm respectful that it could be hurtful to some of the people who love me, my children, my parents perhaps, I haven't really ever shared some of the real things that God did in that moment, and some of the things that I've had to walk through. And I was approached recently and asked, well, I actually just saw the request come into my feed. There's this Zoom happening. If you have a story to tell, would you like to tell it? And I immediately felt that I needed to respond. I don't just do things for the sake of doing them. I'm not looking for other platforms at all. But I believed in that moment that God wants me to tell my story, because it could be someone else's overcoming. And I never want to hold back my story if it could be for someone else's overcoming. And as painful as it perhaps is for me and others to hear it, and as difficult as some of these things are to share, I know that God will honor my testimony, because he says that it's the overcoming. It's the story that we tell of a God who redeemed and saved. When we tell that story, we're saying, we're commanding that he would do it again. We're speaking forth that he would do it again in the lives of others. And so as I share my story next week, and as I talk about some of the things that I've navigated in this overcoming process in my life, what I'm believing for is that God is going to break through into other girls' lives, into other men's lives, perhaps, who are struggling with eating disorders. And he is going to bring breakthrough to them through my story, in Jesus' name. And so I want to say to you this morning, you are a carrier of good news. That is who you are. You may not know that. You may have forgotten it. You may have got distracted, but you are a carrier of good news, because you're a woman. You're a woman, and you carry a spirit of motherhood that is needed in this season. And because of that, because you are a woman, you have a voice, and your voice needs to be a carrier of good news. It needs to be good news in this world. So I want to say to you, remember, rehearse, and recite the right stories. Be that girl. Turn off the media, turn on the Word of God. Turn off the media, turn on the Word of God. Honestly, there is just too much garbage out there. And the media, whether we like it or not, whether we want to address this or not, perhaps look it in the eye, the media is inciting fear. They're inciting discord. They are full of conspiracy theories. Amen. They are they're trying to cause disunity amongst people. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of comparison. It's all been fueled by this thing that I like to call media. And whether for you that's the news or it's a social platform, I want to encourage you, if this is toxic in your life, if you are not able to manage the amount of media that's coming towards you, and perhaps the type of media that's coming towards you, if you are not able to calibrate that, and I don't know if any of us really are, but some of us are not in a great space. And so what's happening is every time we turn on social media, we see a post and it makes us fall apart. If that is happening to you, I want to encourage you, turn it off today. Pop on for tea with Tess on a Wednesday. In fact, don't even do that. Get off Facebook. It's on YouTube. You can catch it up afterwards if that's what you want to do. But if this is not helping you, if social media and the news and newspapers and all the things are causing stress and anxiety in your life, I want to encourage you to turn it off and turn on the Word of God. Amen? You can do it. I know you can. And it may bring about a major shift in your life. The second thing I want to talk to this morning, this is really, really good for me. Do not underestimate the power of remembering. The power of remembering. Do not underestimate the, what will happen when you remember the right stories. Perhaps remembering is the very thing that will change the narrative that we need to bring to this world. And I'll never forget sitting in a Hillsong conference. It was 2016. We'd gone across to New York. We were in the Hillsong conference, and it started with this opener of people, but they'd put like globes over their heads, just light globes, like bobble heads, and it was just the whole opener was around being stuck or being found in the land of forgetfulness. This place where you can't see and it's foggy and it's cloudy. Thanks, Keegs. And I will never forget it really resonated with me, this picture of the land of forgetfulness, how we oftentimes in our lives find ourselves in this land of forgetfulness where we don't know who we are, we don't know why we're here, we don't know what the heck is going on. And they took us through this conference with all the preachers and all the things, and they culminated the end of this conference with this idea of remember. And we took communion, and it was this moment where the Bible speaks about every time you do this, remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Do not underestimate the power of remembering. Some of us, all of us, need to be taking communion every day. It's the power of remembering the right stories. That is what it does. It gives us the power to remember our overcoming, to remember who he is, to remember how he showed up, to remember how he saved, to remember what he's done in our marriages, to remember what he's done in our friendships. And so as we do that, what we're doing is remembering the right stories. So if you leave here today, you're going to assess whether the media is helpful for you. Perhaps you need to turn it off and turn on the Word of God. And I want to encourage us to go and to practice daily communion in our lives, because it is the power of remembering. Do not underestimate the power of remembering in your life. And then the second thing, very quickly, I probably should have done this in 2 weeks, but you know what, we've got to move, girls. There's lots to do together this year. And the second thing I want to bring to you this morning is profound. I might go a bit over time, if that's okay, just because I really feel passionate about this. Another thing that Deborah did that sets her apart, that I think is desperately needed in the world right now, and I think God is calling us as women to do this. She championed the man. I don't know about you, but if you look around and you watch what's happening in the world right now with women and with feminism and with some of the fight for equality and what it means to be women, there is some of it that's really healthy, and I'm here for it. I'm here to have the harder conversations around roles of women in society, and I believe God is placing me in spaces and spheres of influence to allow me to bring God's heart for women to the nation, to the world, perhaps. But I don't necessarily agree and partner with man bashing. In fact, not on any level. I don't think we need to break down men to build up women. I feel like that's completely flawed in its foundation. And so when I see that, everything inside of me wants to rise up and fight it further. And I know that is not going. This is not going to be popular in many spaces, because there is a worldview that says men must shrink so that women can rise. I don't believe that. And what I see in Deborah is a woman so secure, so aligned with who God is and what he had purposed her to do on the planet in that moment, that she could with ease and passion and fervor champion the man. She could put courage in the man's heart to pursue what God had put in his heart to bring victory to Israel. And I want to read to you just parts of this to show how she does this, then we'll talk about it further. So remember, she's told Barak that he needs to take his 10,000 men and go to war. Okay? And he says to her, because he is feeling weak, he is feeling unsure, he's feeling nervous perhaps of the outcome, Barak says to her, if you go with me, I'll go. How's this? But if you don't go with me, I won't go. I think he forgot that he's speaking to like the judge of Israel. Hello? And Deborah says this. I can just imagine her calm confidence. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. She doesn't manipulate him. She doesn't talk down to him. She doesn't tell him that he's worthless and he needs to man up and he needs to be something in this moment that she needs. She doesn't belittle him. She doesn't nag him. She simply tells him the truth and reminds him that God is giving us this battle. And I will go with you because I'm not afraid. I trust in what God has for us. But I'm just telling you, Brooke, that God is going to give the honor of this victory to a woman. And I'm good with that. So you need to be good with that too. And then they go to battle. And what she says happens. But then if you read further on, he's still lacking courage. And in verse 14, she says to Barak, go, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered as a woman who stands alongside men who have lost their courage, who've lost their purpose, who don't necessarily know and understand what's needed of them in that moment. Perhaps they've lost the plot. Perhaps they've dropped the ball. Perhaps they're not everything that we expect them to be or want them to be or think they should be. I want to be that woman that even then I can stand and I can look them in the eye and say, go, move. Run into the things God is calling you to do. Because has not the Lord given you the victory? Has he not gone ahead of you? You know who God is. You know who, what he's put inside of you. Don't hold yourself back from this life. Don't hold what God has put in you back from this moment. Go. You are not what I picture you should be. You are not what you said you would be. You have not showed up how I thought you should, but you know what? Go anyway. I want to be that girl. I want to champion the man. And you know what? I have a hunch. If we spent more time championing the man, breathing life into them, helping them see that they are necessary, that they do not need to shrink so that we can be lifted up. I think if we all played our part in doing that in our homes, in our spaces of influence, in our businesses, in our schools, we would see a massive shift in the way that women relate on this planet. Just a hunch. I don't think fighting for equality in a way gets us anywhere. I don't see it. And I'm talking about just like fighting back and forth. Me against you, me against you. I need to win so that you can, you need to lose so that I can win. I just don't see it producing anything fruitful. And I want to be that woman who constantly speaks God's truth over the men that I have in my world. And I'm not only talking about my husband and my son, obviously that I can do that, and it is amazing and I will do that. It brings me the greatest amount of joy and passion to be able to look Dylan in the eye and remind him what he was born for. When he's perhaps not sure, just take a moment, whether he hears it or not, to remind him of the call of God on his life. There is nothing that brings me greater joy than that. But sometimes I believe God is asking us to do that in our workplaces. You know, we have a diverse team of men and women, and sometimes I believe God is asking me to look at certain men in our team and remind them who they are and remind them that God has called them to something great and they need to go for it because God has gone ahead of them and he will bring them through. And when they win, I win. Hey, it's amazing. So if you have men on your team, perhaps It's to ask, how can we work better together? How can I serve you? How can I champion you in this moment? And obviously, guys, in a way that is where there's boundaries and it's healthy and all the things, you don't hear what I'm not saying here. We don't need to become every man's greatest fan. Hello. I'm talking about bringing the word of God to people, to the men in our world, and championing who they are, speaking spirit-filled, life-giving words to men, young and old. Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing. And I love that we can do that. We can be those women. You know, whether it's, I don't know, I think it's just to consider the things that we say. And I want to be that person. I want to be that girl.